Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to Hardline. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We are broadcasting worldwide every Tuesday and Thursday, 1 to 3 Pacific Time, on the Time for Hemp Broadcasting Network, as well as iHeartRadio. You can listen on Spreaker at the Time for Hemp Broadcasting Network, or go to iHeartRadio and download the app. Go to hardlineradio.com for showtimes and news and current events, and please suggest a guest if you'd like to hear from someone. Today I will be speaking with Vinny Eastwood. He is a very wonderful, dear, close friend of mine. He is the host of The Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcast 5 days a week, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Vinny's websites are TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com, Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. He also has guerrillamedia.co.nz and realguerrillamedia.com, which I am a part of and very, very happy to be. Vinny, welcome to the program.
Yeah, maybe it's more trouble than it's worth.
Oh.
Well, I guess we'll find out in the fullness of time, won't we?
I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's worth it.
Well, you know, I think when you devote yourself to the right causes for the right reasons, and you're not misled by some psychopath in charge of a religious cult or a media organization or something of that nature, then of course it's worth it, no matter how much crap you have to deal with as a result. And what I love about being a talk radio host in this particular movement is the massive quantity of abuse that I don't have to look at and can block said people and never hear from them again. It's beautiful, you know. Vinny, I hate you. You're a fat shill working for the government. Block! And I never hear from the motherfucker again. Oh, yeah. It reminds me of being a teenager, you know, when you had that kind of sick fascination with, oh, that's a big pimple, I want to squeeze that one out, you know.
Kind of,
you know, that's what trolls are, essentially. They're human representations of pimples that you just need to pop and get them out of there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially when they squirt all over the mirror. All right. I'm sorry. Maybe I've started this off with a very, very lowbrow sort of thing. But generally, I'm quite positive and happy and funny and have lots of fun. And that's the whole point of the show, really.
Absolutely. That's why I asked you to come on, so that we could have some comedy on today. Because there's crazy, insane things happening. I got with Leon Pittard of Fair Dinkum Radio in Australia, and you know him as well. He brought me this story because the Australian government, is going to begin a GMO cholera vaccine initiative. They're going to be running this test a drug on children that has live cultures of a GMO cholera bacteria.
Oh, that sounds nice. I was just thinking about Leon Pittard, and he should name his show Let's Get Pittarded.
He's a really good guy.
He is. I love him.
Yeah, he's really awesome. So PaxVax is saying that they have a lot of control measures in place to restrict the spread and persistence of a GM vaccine. They've taken care of all the precautions. And they are in bed with the Australian Department of Health Office of Gene Technology Regulator. And they now have an application that is being considered to test. I can't go over this enough. 1,000 men, women, and children with a genetically modified version of the cholera bacteria. The cholera. It is deadly enough as it is, and they're giving a live version of a genetically modified deadly bacteria in a vaccine, and they will be giving it to men, women, and children. to test to see if it's efficient.
To see if it's efficient at doing what, I wonder. Protecting them from the virus that they, from the bacteria that they're giving them, or to is it effective at just giving them the bacteria and killing them?
Absolutely. Why would you inject live bacterium into a
human naturally
body if you did not mean to infect the body?
Well, naturally, you'd do it if somebody in a white lab coat told you to and said that it was good for your health and that there's scientific evidence. But where is the scientific evidence? Oh, you don't need to know any of that. Oh, okay then. So you want to give me a virus that's apparently going to be good for me and protect me from a virus by giving it to me, and you won't show me the evidence to suggest its efficacy, and you're actually experimenting on me. Is that about right? That's right.
Yes.
And does the vaccine have a printout sheet that I can read there? Why, yes, it does. And can I read that? Why, no, you can't. Well, why not? Well, because it says it'll kill you on it, and you won't take it and pay us money to kill you if you do. Oh, you could have loved science. It's just a barrel of laughs.
It is insane. So they already have one. It's a Dukoral. It's an oral vaccine. It's not recommended if the patient has an allergy to formaldehyde. Let me just stop right there. Formaldehyde is used for what, Vinny?
Aspartame Coke Zero?
When they embalm a body, they use formaldehyde.
Coke
it's
Zero.
A preservative for a dead body, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. How many – I don't know how many people – I'm not assuming that you know how many people have ingested enough formaldehyde to know that they're allergic to it.
How yeah, I mean, that'd be quite interesting, you know. When was the last time people, you know, did a test run? It's like, okay, everybody, have this shot and just drink it down, drink that shot of formaldehyde and see if it has a bad reaction. Well, wait, won't this embalm me from the inside out? Yeah, but we're just testing something, bro. Okay, come on, slurp it down. It'll be good. It'll be good. And then we'll find out whether or not something bad happens after something bad happens to you. Well, shouldn't I just avoid drinking formaldehyde in its entirety because it's actually not that good for anybody, full stop, let alone the people who are sensitive to it? Yeah, you probably shouldn't, but just drink it anyway. Jesus, what are you, a conspiracy theorist? Thinking too much, bro. Just do what an authority figure tells you. Shut up.
Yes. Formaldehyde was designed to preserve a dead body. It has no purpose other than to be a toxin to a living organism.
Oh my God, I just had a really scary thought. You know how I've been thinking about like the zombie apocalypse and what have you? What if the zombie apocalypse happened and people have drank so much Coke Zero that they're actually embalmed and preserved so that you have infinite zombies? That actually don't rot or anything like that. They literally just lumber around for ages and ages, eating everything. Oh, wait a second. I just described half the U.S. population.
Okay. If you believe some media outlets, you will believe that just a couple of days, weeks ago, or maybe it was about a week and a half ago. Let me correct myself. A woman showed up at a drive-thru at McDonald's. And the media outlet that covered the story claimed that this woman was a real zombie. And not satire. That they actually made the case that the George Romero films, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, were actually documentaries because this woman was an actual zombie out of the George Romero films. And as seriously as I'm speaking to you, they explained that this woman was a real zombie at a McDonald's drive-through, bashing glass and abusing the employees because she wanted chicken nuggets and they weren't serving them.
Oh, yeah, I recall that story. That video is actually quite old. It's interesting. It was released, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, like 18 months ago on the internet. and the media only just reports on it just recently. And so it's going on about zombie apocalypse. Now, as far as I know, in the George A. Romero films, none of the zombies abused people.
Right? Other than grabbing them and eating them, but yes.
And see, that's not verbal abuse. I mean, last time, you know, I saw a zombie try and attempt to verbally abuse somebody, it just came out as, and that was about it. You know, not exactly something to feel that insulted about. And for the mainstream media to say that this woman actually was a zombie when she was not rotting, she was speaking and actually was highly energetic and not slow and lumbering and so on and forth. And also she was driving a car.
Yes.
Okay. Zombies can't drive cars, man. They don't got the motor reflexes, yo.
So this story, as if it were true, I watched the video. I have to say I hadn't seen it before. But when I watched the video, I realized that, yes, this woman was pale. It could have been poor lighting. It did look like her eyes were sunken in, but again, it could be the poor lighting and where the light was coming down, shining down on her. She was she was emaciated, and she looked like she was probably on something extremely potent, like meth.
It seemed like she was a meth head to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
That seemed precisely the reaction you would expect from somebody who's on copious quantities of crack and then is really, really angry that they arrived at a time where it's not possible to get chicken nuggets.
Yes.
Have you actually seen this video by the health ranger where they took a microscope and had a look at them chicken nuggets?
I did, and I saw something interesting. When something is embedded in something else, like when they find something not natural inside a hamburger, it's usually embedded in the burger, not laying on top. I thought that was interesting, that the little fiber that they found was on top instead of embedded in. Just an observation.
Yeah. Well, the fibers, little red blemish areas and all of this other really weird stuff. It was almost like you were looking at some sort of an alien landscape. Like, it didn't look natural, man. Like, where is the chicken? There just ain't no chicken in chicken nuggets, bro.
No, there is. Just, no.
It's ground up chicken feet and beaks and combs and feathers and freaking goodness knows what else, you know, just the off cuts of the chicken.
Yes.
You know?
And it's glued together with pink slime.
Yeah. See, I swore off eating bioweapons about 5 months ago. I haven't had anything. I mean, Sarah got really drunk and I had to get her some Burger King the other week, but the other reason why, I mean, I don't eat fast food anymore is because I gained like 10 kilos in a month and a half just eating fast food, and I came to this realization: if it comes from an authority figure, like a piece of information, then it's probably the exact opposite of whatever they say it is. So the politicians aren't there to ensure they protect your freedoms. They're actually there to legislate them away. The medical system's not there to save your life. It's there to profit off of your death. And the second general rule of life is if you can't make it at home by yourself, then it's probably some form of soft-kill bioweapon. And when I came to those realizations, I was like, I really don't want to eat soft-kill bioweapons anymore, you know, just for my health.
Yeah, I made the same decision when I was out in Colorado, eating healthy organic food. When we did go back to the city and eat, not fast food, but just like maybe It was at the grocery store, and it's the hot meals that you can get at the counter in the deli. I got sick, like seriously ill. Won't touch it anymore. That was it.
It's because they're poisons, and once your body's not used to them, it starts to reject them if you ingest them anymore. And I think this is a natural, healthy response. Don't you think, ladies and gentlemen, that if what you're eating is bad for you, that you perhaps shouldn't be eating it? And, you know, the real problem is that almost all of the food that is available is poison. Very little of it that is available is actually good for you. And if it is good for you, it's prohibitively expensive. However, there was a study of homeless people in Brooklyn this one time. I know we're coming to break soon, so I'll finish this up quickly. And they studied these homeless people, and their diet was mostly sardines. And they studied a whole bunch of wealthy, affluent people, and their diet consisted of whatever they wanted to buy. And it turned out that those people who were able to eat anything that they wanted and had no price restrictions were remarkably less healthy than the homeless people who could only eat sardines. So just because you're broke doesn't mean you can't be healthy. And if you've got dirt, you've got free food. It's just that simple.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the other night I got sick. I have an allergy to penicillin. I ate some brie cheese and the crust on the outside is made with penicillin. And I got sick and I threw up because my body rejected it because I have an allergy to it. It's the same thing. When you eat this crap food, you get sick because it's not good for you. It's meant to poison you and your body's trying to reject it. We'll come back in a few moments, ladies and gentlemen. I'm speaking with Vinnie Eastwood of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And you're listening to Hardline with Suzanne Posel. Don't go away. Welcome back to Hardline. I am Suzanne Posel, and I have with me Vinnie Eastwood of thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Vinnie, I got to bring up another article that I have up here on occupycorporatism.com. Princeton University is trying to decide whether or not they want to administer a meningitis vaccine to students that has not been approved by any regulatory body, including the FDA.
See, I thought meningitis was a division of the Men in Black.
Meningitis is actually polio. They just call it a new name. It's actually polio.
And also, allegedly, chronic fatigue syndrome is a polio variant brought on by a vaccine reaction.
That would make sense because the CDC website and the World Health Organization website both agree that people are contracting polio through the polio vaccine.
Yeah. Isn't polio Italian for police or something?
I don't know. But listen to this, okay? They have meningitis vaccines on the market, okay? But this goes back to what we were talking about before the break and what's going on in Australia with PaxVax, and they want to do this test run with live cultures of cholera inside a vaccine to test its efficiency. Here we have Princeton University discussing whether or not they are going to vaccinate students or mandate. I mean, by New Jersey law, it's if you live in a dormitory and there's other restrictions, then you have to be vaccinated. But this vaccine has not been approved, and the CDC is going to go ahead and ship it into the country out from Europe and from Australia. So they're going to supply it. They're saying that it's a Group B meningitis that was spread on the Princeton University campus. But group B meningitis is typical of what strikes infants and adolescents, but not adults.
And here I was thinking that it was rock stars that had all the group Bs.
This obviously doesn't make sense. Well,
it doesn't make sense to you or I, because we have this thing called a conscience, logic. But if we were criminal, ruthless, sociopathic scum, this would make perfect sense. This would be affecting our bottom line, wouldn't it?
This is obviously a scam to test a unregulated vaccine on people, on students at Princeton University, probably because they fit a gender profile to prove the validity and the efficiency of the vaccine. Why else would they be giving them an unregulated vaccine? Not that vaccines themselves do anything for you, but on top of it, it's not been approved by anyone, and they're going to ship it into the country and start sticking young adults, late teens, early 20s, with it.
Designer autism. Have you heard of this term?
Explain this to the audience.
Okay. An autistic person has no emotional awareness. An autistic person doesn't really know whether or not you're being serious or joking or lying or whatever. So they make perfect workers because they don't question authority and they do precisely what they're told, how they're told, and you can treat them with emotional disdain and they won't even notice. And apparently the elite want this to be the mental disorder of as many people as humanly possible, because they'd be a great workforce that wouldn't question, and you can emotionally abuse them and have no consequence because they wouldn't worry about it and they wouldn't even perceive it. That's designer autism. And apparently this is what the elite are planning. It's a massive worldwide forced vaccination campaigns whereby some people will have a bad reaction and die. Some people will have this designer autism reaction, and some people will appear to be fine and unaffected, really. That's basically the agenda as far as I've been explained this by Christine England. I think Vodafone in the UK has a team of 400 autistic people working under them, I think, in programming or something of that. I'm not 100% sure, but, you know, if you're a social engineer, as the elite definitely are, then this is a gold mine, potentially.
Sure. And then you have initiatives like in California where they're altering the exemption for California parents, making it extremely difficult, incriminating, getting the parents to sign off on a document which violates their Fifth Amendment rights to not self-incriminate. Oh, you go in and you sit with the pediatrician and they tell you that you're endangering your child, and then you sign off on a document which goes not only into the file at the pediatrician's office, but also a file with the government.
So it goes into the pediatrician's file. Do they call them pediophiles?
Yeah, they probably should, actually.
Yeah.
All right, you're not giving your child the vaccination. All right, that goes right into your pedophile. I'll have that on you for the rest of your life.
But this is incredibly dangerous because the parents in California who can't homeschool their children are being forced to sign a document that outlines with a healthcare practitioner, a nurse or a doctor, that they understand that they're endangering their child. And that's not true. By not vaccinating does not mean that you're not endangering. I mean that you're endangering your child.
Yeah, if anything, you're protecting them. And let's see, I think in New Zealand, it's roughly 5%, staunch 5% of parents will not vaccinate their children. And now in New Zealand, they're introducing legislation whereby if you want to attend a public school, you are required to have your vaccination because you might infect the rest of the herd. That's why they call it herd immunity. Vaca comes from a Spanish word meaning cow, which is derived from the Latin. And incidentally, what happens is you've got the government purchasing off of big vaccine companies these products and then forcing you to attend public school. In a lot of cases, you basically get compelled to do it. It's very, very hard to do homeschooling, as you say, and then force your medicine on them. By medicine, I mean a soft-kill bioweapon. And it occurs to me in the historical context that this has kind of happened before. I know that everybody likes to go on about Nazi Germany, but here's an interesting anecdote. The first piece of legislation that took away people's rights to do something in Nazi Germany wasn't the Jews or anything else. It was homeschoolers first and foremost, so that they could force your children into the government indoctrination schools, where you have to say the Pledge of the Allegiance every day. Hey, mein Gott, Deutschland, you know, whatever the hell the Hitlerian speech was at the time. And as a result, you indoctrinate an entire generation of children into being willing servants of the state who see the state as their family, because they previously had been taught by their family how to be adults, live in the world, but now the state had 100% utter control of them. And that public school system is still in effect today, isn't it? We got this massive awareness starting to break out about the dangers of the public schooling system, how it dumbs children down, and how it's doing so purposefully. And I think giving them a vaccine and giving them a wee bit of designer autism, I think is a good step in that same direction, except it's a tad more insidious because they tell you it's good for your health. And this is why one of my assumptions, as I mentioned in the previous segment, is if it comes from an official authority, it is the direct opposite of what it is. Public schools meant to educate you. No, it's not. It's meant to train you like a dog and dumb you down. And they, we need to give you vaccines because otherwise you'll infect the herd. Well, actually, no, you're deliberately infecting me so that I'll be just as sick as the rest of the herd. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation financed a study back in October about Common Core state standards, saying that schools love it, kids love it, educators love it, it's great. And even Obama came out earlier this year saying that we need to have career-ready standards in schools. So they're creating people to go to work. They're not educating you. You're not learning about history or science or life or anything useful. You're learning how to be career ready.
Yeah. Well, this is actually lifted straight out of the Agenda 21 documents. It says personal liberties are to take a back seat to the collective, and the people who are more educated in society currently consume more resources. Therefore, it is in benefit to the planet for people to be less educated and better prepared in the world of work.
Absolutely. And to make the assembly line part of your daily existence, so that you don't see that you're a factory worker on an assembly line pushing out product, that you go to work, you do that, and you come home. So you don't have to see it. It's a prison without bars.
It's a brave new world, you know. It's the deltas, essentially. That's what it is. I want to buy new, shiny things. I am happy to do the exact same thing all day, every day, and have these announcements repeated to me so that my mind control gets completely reinforced. And if I get upset or angry, they'll either A, give me a drug named Soma to make me okay with how much everything sucks, or they'll just disappear me. Doesn't that sound like a nice, loving society to you? You know, freedom is something that people don't understand. I don't think they do to a large degree anymore. Freedom is about not having to do what people tell you to do if you don't want to, all right? Not to be compelled with violence, the use of force, without your consent. And they figured out this, that people will consent to anything so long as they think that they don't even have a choice. Mm-hmm. That's the sad part about it. We do have a choice about what we do, who we listen to, how we live. Yet we're not given the options. We're not told precisely the consequences of said choices is. This is our society, in a nutshell, a world where everybody appears to be free because their own mind, in complete opposite to reality, tells us that we are. And we're really not. That's the tragedy of it. We have so much potential with the human family, species, whatever you want to call it. And I don't think that potential is being reached. I think that it is indeed dangerous for people who don't like freedom for anybody to have it. Like, actually dangerous. A free person will kill you if you try and murder them. A free person will protect their children if you try and kidnap them. A free person will not pay his parking tickets and take you to court if there's no lawful basis for it. A free person won't pay their taxes and demand that you show them the law. These are not people the government wants around influencing other people. You just imagine people like us everywhere talking smack about the government. These conversations need to be had at the dinner table, in the morning, at the breakfast, and they need to be said and talked about in your classrooms, during your lunch breaks at work. These conversations need to be had all over the place. I think this is the reason why work, and thank goodness I don't have to work for scumbags anymore, was so depressing to me, Suzanne. It's like I didn't get to have any of these kind of conversations. Everybody was just obsessed with doing things that didn't matter, wasting their freaking time on this planet. I mean, think about it. There's 7 billion people. Why would you hang out with people who don't encourage you? People who don't inspire you? People who don't enlighten you? What the hell is the point in that when you've got so much other choice?
Vinny, let's continue this conversation on the other side. I have to take a break. Folks, don't go away. You're listening to Hardline with Suzanne Posel, and I'm speaking with Vinny Eastwood. His website is thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Join us on the other side. Welcome back to Hardline. I'm Suzanne Posel, and I'm speaking with Vinny Eastwood, the host of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcast 5 days a week on American Freedom Radio. His website is thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, guerrillamedia.co.nz, and realguerrillamedia.com. Before we went to break, Vinny, you mentioned something that brings me to another article that I have. It's actually the headline story. Declassified documents reveal government spying on patriots as a threat. And they listed triggers for the NSA were Americans who believe in the First Amendment, speak or write in opposition to the government, worship at a mosque, work as a journalist. There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
So basically, anybody who believes in constitutional rights granted by God is a bad person and a terrorist and a threat to tyranny.
Yes.
Sounds about right.
Yes. And in these declassified documents, a lot of the information was redacted, of course. Obama started throwing George Bush under the bus. It's not my fault. This guy started this way back when, you know. James Clapper, director of national intelligence, comes out and explains that Obama told him to make public as much information as possible about certain sensitive programs while being mindful of the need to protect sensitive classified intelligence activities and national security. But here are these documents. It goes back 7 years ago, when the Bush administration ordered the collection of information on all domestic phone calls to be made under the authority of the Patriot Act and all, quote, relevant, whatever the hell that means, records of business transactions taken up in investigations. But they swear that they weren't listening to the phone calls.
Yeah.
They have everything else, but they don't listen to your phone calls. They promise.
They listen to everything. Everything.
Everything.
I'm reading, you know, I haven't read a book in nearly 10 years, Suzanne, and I'm starting to read a book now called Totalitaria, written by award-winning New Zealand journalist Ian Wishart. He goes through this. I've only finished the first chapter thus far, but yeah. These programs that they've got, what has been called PRISM, and a number of other different programs that have been used by DARPA, the CIA, a program called QIntel, and PROMIS, just PROMIS, have been used for a long time to surveil absolutely every single thing that goes on online, offline, phone calls, email, etc., anything, absolutely anything and everything, whether you're presumed innocent or presumed guilty, doesn't matter. They just data mine the whole time.
Yes.
Don't think for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, that anything that you do on an electronic device has any form of privacy. Facebook has no privacy, okay? Mark Zuckerberg was given 12 million in order to start up
by Peter Thiel,
who was I think he was chair of the American Venture Capital Association, and Peter Thiel, and this guy is also a CIA contractor, I think. So what the CIA does is, because they can't develop all the software and sophisticated algorithms to surveil the whole world by themselves, what they do is they insert CIA people into venture capital, so that in the IT industry, as soon as somebody comes up with a great idea that will allow them to collect massive quantities of data, they then siphon some of those ideas and foster them and then start using them. All right. And that's all that is. And they build in back doors so that only the CIA or the NSA or whichever agency is particularly involved in funding that specific data mining program can access all information.
Yes.
And this whole concept of, if you're not doing anything wrong, if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to fear, is actually the direct opposite. If you have nothing to hide, then you definitely have something to fear. If you have a look at, say, New Zealand, we've recently had a bill similar to the USA Patriot Act, but more or less it just ties our intelligence agencies to the NSA. It's called the GCSB bill, the Government Securities and Scumbaggery Bureau, or whatever it's called. And it has an office of the NSA in it, and it allows them to surveil anybody for any reason, at all times, legally, without warrants. Now, 88 people, apparently political activists and whatnot, were under surveillance by the GCSB illegally, and that was leaked. How many people at the GCSB went to jail for breaking the law? None. How many people got even slightly disciplined or even called in to do so much as a hearing on surveilling 88 of New Zealand's top political activists illegally? None. And how many of these activists have actually been given the information as to whether or not it was in fact them being surveilled. None. They can neither confirm nor deny. This is the future. They know everything about you at all times, and if you're doing nothing wrong, you have something to fear, particularly if you're trying to do something that the government doesn't want you to do. Like, for example, teach people about being free or try to expose some form of scumbaggery or corruption. If you're doing any of that, then you have a hell of a lot to fear from the government, because guess what the source of all corruption and scumbaggery is? The government. All right? People say, oh, no, it's not the government that does that, it's the corporations. Really? Who allows the corporations to do what they do? The government does. Why does the government have that power? Because they've got the monopoly of force, okay? A government can kill people. A government can bash people over the skull. There have been 1,433 deaths caused by the New Zealand police since 1967. Okay? 1,433. Do you have any idea how many of those cops who were guilty of murder, at the very least manslaughter, have even so much as been disciplined, promoted, fired, or jailed? Not one. Not one. They can kill you. They can beat you over the head. They can rape you. They can smash and steal your private property. But because they work for the government and have the monopoly of force, you have no recompense. You have no recourse of any kind. But if a citizen kills a police officer, and this has happened on occasion in New Zealand, nobody in New Zealand who has ever killed a police officer has a life expectancy longer than 18 months. All right? You kill a police officer, you're dead. The police will kill you. Either that, or they will use their gang connections to do it for them. Allegedly, the police are really, really heavily involved with drug trafficking, and as a result are very tight with lots of gangs because they supply their drugs. They can easily raid some kind of drug den, steal all their contraband, and then walk next door to another gang, sell it to them, or trade it for a death contract. They have that power. Because what are the gangs going to do? Refused the police's orders? The police are in your house trying to sell you drugs. What are you going to do? Go to the police and ask them to arrest them? Who does all the investigation of the police in New Zealand? Oh, yeah, that's right. The Independent Police Conduct Authority. Why do they call it Independent Police Conduct Authority? Well, because it's run independently by the police, staffed exclusively by police, and actually proceed in the cover-up of any complaints against police.
That's how they keep it all in the family.
The police in New Zealand refer to themselves as the largest gang in the country. That's how they refer to themselves. This is the reason why I fear police. It's the same reason I fear gang members, and the same reason I fear judges. It's because none of them have any respect for the rule of law. And I fear police and gangs slightly more than I fear judges, because judges aren't on the street. Judges don't use physical violence without provocation against you, okay? Judges can send you to jail, right? So that's a big scary power. But that's the way law enforcement works. You're either a gang member in a suit or a gang member wearing a Masonic checkered hat, or a gang member wearing a patch. And these are the true rulers of society. Corporate gang, bureaucratic gang, or just a regular criminal gang. And all of them fall under the same umbrella of criminal gang as well, depending on how you look at it. Well, those are who run society.
We have to go to break, and we'll come back on the other side and talk more about this, folks. We have another hour with Vinnie Eastwood. His website is thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And we will be right back, folks. Don't go away.